I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. It's been a tough transition from authoritarian rule to democracy in Burma. The country's been hailed by the United States for it, but the transition's been challenging all the same. The Burmese government has faced serious tensions involving the country's numerous ethnic minority groups. The government's reached ceasefire agreements with many of them. Still, violence between Buddhists and Muslims has left scores dead and thousands displaced. Buddhists, by the way, represent roughly 90% of the population. Well, the world's Aaron Schachter just got back from Burma. He was there as a Jefferson Fellow with the University of Hawaii's East-West Center. Aaron, what were your impressions? This is your first time in Burma?
Yeah, it was. And it seems like a country on the brink, either of something incredibly good or something incredibly bad. Of course, on the positive side, Burma has moved from essentially a pariah state with very few friends to now the world's darling. Businesses are clamoring to get in. And the capital there, Yangon, is something of a boom town. Real estate prices are crazy. One developer there said, likened it to Tokyo or Hong Kong. They're not just changing a system, as one person said, they're changing a society.
So a myriad of problems. Is there faith that the new government can solve all of them?
Well, it's a mixed bag. As part of the constitution that the military government created, 25% of parliament seats go to the military.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we spoke with the president's spokesman, and I asked him, you know, how much of a democracy is it if the military is in there? And he kind of said, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but he had this little smile and he said, well, 75% of the government isn't the military anymore. And the government there did go around to 15 countries, including the United States and Denmark and others, to see how they could build their own democracy. And they seem very serious about that. They're also very serious, they say, about changing the constitution to get rid of the military and also to change a rule that currently prevents Aung San Suu Kyi from becoming president.
And on top of all that, Aaron, Myanmar is a country right now racked by ethnic violence, as I suggested earlier, troubles between Buddhists and Muslims.
Yeah, and that's what we see in the news, of course. It is a really complicated issue. I did not realize how complicated it was until I got there.
What makes it so complex?
Well, we met with a group of ethnic politicians there, and I think it's safe to say that the people in my group were shocked by the degree of animosity they had toward what they called outsiders. They have a 3,000-year history there, and outsiders are essentially people who've come in the last 300 years.
And is that code for the Muslims?
Well, the people who have come from the outside do happen to be Muslims. What I could never put my finger on, though, was whether they were actually anti-Muslim or whether they were just scared. Most of the country is very rural. It is mineral rich, but very undeveloped. There are seven states, twice as many ethnic groups, and they're all kind of fighting for a piece of the pie. You know, basic services, clean water, electricity, education, medical care. Again, what comes across is this religious violence. And the latest iteration of that is a new marriage law, which would prevent Muslim men from marrying Buddhist women. The proponents of that law are pretty straightforward. They don't want more Muslims in the country.
And who's been pushing that law? Is it Buddhist monks?
In fact, it is Buddhist monks. There's a nationalist monk named Wiratu. He was recently on the cover of Time magazine under the headline, "The Face of Buddhist Terror?" There is an actual council of Buddhists. It's called the Sangha Council, and it should have some authority to rein this guy in, or at least ask him to tone things down. But that council so far has proven to be toothless. And in fact, we've got this story from Bruce Wallace about just why the council is failing.